it's up to the parents and up to the consumers to start this dialogue and start talking about it, whether it's useful for the kids or not, and to share their opinion on public platforms openly without any fear of defamation lawsuits or takedowns.
Hey guys, welcome to Backstage with Millionaires. I'm Caleb, your host, and today we have Pradeep Punia back on the show. Back in November of 2020, White Hat Jr. filed a $2.7 million defamation lawsuit against him, but just last week they withdrew that same lawsuit, and here you are back on the show to talk about what your experience during that lawsuit was and what are your reflections on the entire experience and how do you see things in the edtech space and specifically focusing on White Hat Jr., how do you see those things going forward into the future? So before we jump into talking about White Hat Jr., I just wanted to say first or ask you, how are you doing? Like, how are things going now that the lawsuit is finally over?
Yeah, so it's a good thing that happened. A lot of pressure has been taken off from my side. Actually the timing of it could have been better. At least if it was taken a few weeks earlier or maybe, I don't know how many, but some weeks from now, it would have been a much better point that I could have celebrated. Right now, it's a very sad state in my region due to the corona and all of that, yeah. But yeah, something good happened. Definitely, and yeah. I also like, at this point, I want to thank all the people who supported me, especially the people from Reddit, LinkedIn and Telegram. People worked with me and in my Telegram groups. Thank you to all that. And it was really great to see like how the entire, you know, engineers community came together for this issue. I think mostly because we all have gone through this phase where something is pushed on us for our careers and we know what happens to that. So yeah, a lot of people came in support and thank you to all of them.
Definitely. I think when we last spoke, things were picking up. The publicity was there. People were talking about you and this lawsuit and White Hat Jr. But since that last conversation that we had, it kind of exploded, right? This is something that people across India are now talking about, and the community surrounding you and supporting you has definitely grown as well. So I think they're definitely curious to know what happens next. And I'm going to ask you that a little bit later on. But the first thing I want to know is, why do you think White Hat Jr. decided to withdraw the lawsuit? Personally, I was very surprised when this happened. And I think a lot of people in the public did not see this coming. So I'd love to get your take on it.
So first of all, like, I don't even understand, like, why did they file the case in the first place? That's also a very strange thing to do. So that also doesn't make much sense. I talked to my lawyer and she told me like this kind of thing usually doesn't happen. Companies don't take their case back. And whether it be like HUL has done something in the past and other companies, they don't take the case back. But it's they have taken it back. Maybe some sense prevailed over them or I don't know what happened. But yeah, journalists should ask them like why have they taken the case back? Yeah.
Yeah, it was definitely surprising. And I wonder if, to me, the way that this looks is that they're almost admitting defeat or that they're deciding that it's no longer worthwhile. And I wonder if that has something to do with the fact that you didn't just shut up and roll over and sort of play by their rules. They might have thought that that was the response that you were going to give them after they took you to court. And instead, you just made your voice even louder. So the next question that I have is, what kind of impact have you seen the fact that you've spoken up and spoken out against this company? What kind of impact have you seen as a result of your actions?
So, yeah, the first thing that I was trying to achieve was that this FOMO behind coding mania, the sense, and this has stopped to a lot of extent. Now people are aware of it. People understand that there's no need to push your six-year-old kids into coding. That's something good happened and the dialogue has started. Actually, I'm not a parent. I'm not a child. So it's up to the parents and up to the consumers to start this dialogue and start talking about it, whether it's useful for the kids or not, and to share their opinion on public platforms openly without any fear of defamation lawsuits or takedowns. So this has started. This is something good as which is happening now. And from what I've known from some other company insider is that the conversion rates from the sales call which these companies make has gone down. From what I know, that's something good that is something good which is happening. So yeah, parents are now more aware of it. People can openly post about it, and yeah.
That's interesting though that you say the conversion rates have come down. So essentially, the reason that they took you to court in the first place was and sued you for $2.7 million is that they were claiming that that was the negative financial impact that your alleged defamation had caused their company. But it seems like yes. They withdrew the case after they saw an even more negative financial impact as a result of taking you to court, yeah, and having you speak out against them as a result.
Yeah. Could be like in the lawsuit that they filed, it was written that the 20 crore mark, this value was estimated based on their numbers saying their conversion rates have dropped from 13% to 11% or 9%. I don't remember that. But from that conversion ratio, they had calculated this 20 crore loss. And from what I know from some other company, the company which was not even showing such ads and their name also never came into the picture. And their sales have also gone down from 10% to 5% conversion rates. So that's, I think, yeah, they were losing money on this now.
So what you're saying is that it's possible that you speaking out against this one specific company may have actually had a ripple effect across the entire Indian edtech space.
Yeah, that's what my aim was. I was not against one company or I never had any personal vendetta. Like I spoke about it in some other interview that I don't want people to lose their jobs, especially in the COVID pandemic thing going on. So my point was majorly about this coding FOMO, which was growing, which these companies were using to sell the product. And to a lot of extent, that has stopped now. I think some people will still buy it because some parents have a lot of money and they want to try out different stuff. But it's up to them. I can't, enforce everybody to not buy it. It's their choice. But a lot of parents have understood it, especially from we were able to, educate people from non-technical background as well. To understand that this coding is not a compulsion for six-year-old kids. You can obviously learn it at later stage. And yeah.
And that's, I see that as one benefit that a lot of these maybe edtech companies have backed off a bit. And they're not trying to market this kind of course as heavily as they were before. And especially they're not using this FOMO tactic as much as they were before. Are there any other benefits that you've seen resulting from you deciding to speak out against White Hat Junior?
Yeah, so see, initially when I started posting about those Wolf Gupta ads, on simple Google search, you wouldn't find anything about Wolf Gupta. And now internet is full of everything about Wolf Gupta. So that has changed. Now there are no takedowns. You can post about the company or the employees can talk about it. As parents, you can talk about it. As a student, you can post your reviews. So that's a good thing that has happened. And yeah. And also, like, I have seen that refunds point of view as well. Now they are like drastically less number of cases where parents are calling me and telling me that they are not getting the refunds as compared to earlier. So I think the company is working on that. So that's a good thing. So yeah, we'll have to see how it goes in the future as well. But as of now, there are some good changes.
Sure, sure. And probably some internal changes too, because I know talking off camera, you had mentioned that White Hat Junior employees and Baiju's employees had been contacting you to kind of share their plight. But now it seems like maybe those kinds of calls have dissipated a little bit.
Yeah. So yeah, now that more people came to know about me, I was expecting more calls, but those calls have dropped. It's much less than what I used to get earlier. So either the company is changing something internally. So if they are doing that, it's a good thing. I hope they continue to do it in the future as well. We'll keep an eye on that.
Sure. And then in terms of the, I know we were talking very specifically about White Hat Junior here, but then if we zoom out a little bit and look at the edtech space at large, you know, how do you see the current situation shaping up, especially during this second, you know, wave of COVID-19 here in India, and also a lot of these companies now choosing to go international, right? Like, what, you know, yeah. How would you describe the current situation in the edtech space?
So yeah, like, because of this COVID situation, these companies got a, like, this was their golden period to expand because the schools are shut down and they have a really good opportunity to expand. And I think some companies, I think all the of these companies are expanding beyond their own ability to control it now. Because I think the BDAs are themselves finding loopholes in the system and exploiting that.
Could you tell me, sorry, quickly, what a BDA is?
Business Development Associate. Basically, it's the salesman.
Okay.
So okay. Recently, I read an article on The Kin written by Olina Banerjee. Yeah. The same journalist who wrote the first article on this issue when I started doing it. So thanks to her. So, yeah. So that article is about a Vedantu. So what's happening over there is that some BDAs, Vedantu had a policy, they came up with a new policy that anytime refund, you can get refund at any time, not 14-day mark. So the BDA started misusing this and they started, you know, booking the course for their own relatives, friends or in fake names. And once their sales target was achieved, they started applying for the refund. So this is happening in all the edtechs that it's the BDAs which some of the BDAs, I would say, end up misusing the policies for the of the company. So that is something which is happening.
Interesting.
I think after that, Vedantu took that thing back, the anytime refund policy. Although I'm not sure what happened after that.
Sure. But it sounds like a very classic case of sort of unchecked and almost unsustainable growth, where these companies are just aiming to get bigger and bigger at any cost, even if internal things are going wrong, like, for example, BDA is taking advantage of some offer, or
yeah.
I'm not sure if that's the case across the edtech space, like, or if this is just a problem for Vedantu specifically. Like, you know, are there other things that are going on similar to this, or is this mainly focused on Vedantu?
No, in every edtech which has BDAs, which have sales team, there are such kind of issues everywhere. So not just these two, three companies, everywhere you will find this kind of issues. Because
okay.
I think it becomes really hard for them to keep a check on every single sale. How do they keep a check on what the BDA will end up saying? But at the end of it, it's their responsibility. You know, it's your BDA, it's your responsibility. But it's certainly because the BDA will also, you know, at the end, will think about his own salary and will end up saying anything to sell the product, any kind of false claims or whatever, figures and all that.
Sure. I can totally understand how that would happen. The company wants to grow, so they set a really large quota, meaning that the salesperson needs to do a lot of work to meet that quota. And basically the easiest way to get a lot of people to buy something is to use, you know, fear tactics or FOMO tactics or, you know, whatever sort of unethical or immoral technique to get someone to buy a product or a service. And if there isn't you know, a quality team to monitor these salespeople, then it's just a, you know, it's not a an if it's going to happen. It's more of a when and how much is it going to happen.
Yeah.
So what is, I mean, I don't know if you have an answer to this question, but, you know, there's obviously some issues, right? There's some problems going on in the ed tech space. Things are not all, you know, rosy. What's the solution? How can these companies fix this? Or is it on the consumers to fix it? Or is it maybe some external force, like, you know, the government? Like, what would you say is the solution to this, to these problems?
So, yeah, the problem in itself is very complex. Okay, so because there are many players into it. The edtech companies, parents, students, government, regulatory bodies. I think everybody need to come together and keep up with the dialogue and come up with some solutions to it. Also, like, now parents should be open about the experiences and the students as well. Like, if they like the product or not, so that other consumers will get an idea about the product and the pair and the company will also get some feedback. Also, now the regulatory part, like, I'm thinking about it and see what happens in India is it's a complex thing that regulations are very, either the government doesn't have any regulations or something, and when they do, the regulations are so hard that it becomes difficult for the newcomers to enter the business. So, for example, take the example of CBSE schools. If you go around India, you will just find this, most of the schools are owned by either politicians, MLA, MPs, or celebrities, cricketers, businessmen. New people don't end up opening schools. It's really difficult to get the license and all, and all the approvals. So the regulations are, you know, stopping new people to enter into that school business thing. And if we end up having some regulations and startup for edtech, that can, you know, because the big players will obviously will figure out a way to get all the regulations, all the checks and balances, because they have a lot of money. But the new player, new startups will might find it difficult to enter into the game. So it's a double-edged sword. So that's something which needs to be think about. And the, I think government should also come up with e-learning platforms, something like Khan Academy or something, because the schools are shut down for almost a year now and it can, you know, continue for the next year as well. So the all the state boards, CBSE, I think it's time for them to come up with their own e-learning platform which provides education for free. You know, we don't know for how long this corona situation will prevail, and the government should do something. It's not that hard. The money required would be somewhat reasonable, and the government should do something about it. Yeah.
That's an interesting, proposition.
Proposition.
Yeah. Also, I think, like, some people should come up with the alternatives, you know. Like, there's some... Through the comments, I came to know about some guy called... some YouTube channel called Physics Wala. So that these people, I think, changed the entire game. What earlier used to happen was the 11th or 12th class IIT JE coaching used to cost around, what, 1 lakh rupees around. And what these guys did was they started giving away the course for just 1,000 rupees. So because at the scale which they were you know, getting the money from, the number of students they had, even 1,000 rupees... you know, gave them a lot of money, so they didn't care. So I think for you know, KG to 12 section as well, this business side as well, somebody should come up with some alternatives and provide education at much, much affordable prices. And for those new players, you know, their business can boom up.
Definitely. And this raises one interesting topic that I've been thinking about, like, if such a course, for example, this Physics Wala, as you were saying, is offered for free as opposed to charging 1,000 rupees, do you think that it would be as popular?
No, I think, I'm not sure. I haven't seen all the videos. I'm not into IITJ preparation now. I gave my exam like a decade ago. But what I've seen, many of the videos are already out there for free. most of the content is for free. I don't know what percentage of the content is for free and what percentage they are selling. But as far as I know, a lot of stuff is already out there for free. There's another YouTube channel called Study IQ. They are also working on the similar idea. They are providing a lot of content for free. It's owned by Gaurav Garg. And they are providing almost everything for free. They are charging for very little. And that's the strategy, because if they have a lot of students, then even with very little fees, they can make decent money. So that's a new thing which is happening because of the internet. And that's really appreciable, yeah.
Wow, that's a great approach. Kind of like this freemium model where you get most of it for free, but if you want to upgrade or you want, you know, access to premium content, then you can pay a small fee and have access to that.
Yeah.
So yeah, some of these competitors that are coming in and offering things at a discounted price, it seems like, you know, that's a good thing, and it forces everybody to stay competitive. I've always felt like the more players you have in a space, the more crowded it is, the better it is for the consumer. So overall, you know, here in India in the edtech space, would you say that things are getting better, or would you say that they're getting worse, or is it more complicated than that?
I would say it's complicated than that because, see, everybody is talking about IIT JEE, and trust me, IIT JEE is not the problem. The problem is that we don't have enough number of seats. The problem is that we don't have enough number of colleges, and the ones which we have, they need to be, you know, worked upon. So let's take the example of Amazon Academy. They have entered into Indian market, and the first courses which they are providing is about IIT JEE. And I won't comment on the content, the quality of the content, because I haven't used it. But I'm talking about, you know, the idea behind it. Like, what are they trying to do? The Amazon, owned by one of the richest man in the world, they are entering into Indian market, and they are saying, like, we will help you prepare for IIT JEE. Hey, man, like, we can prepare for the R exam ourselves. We don't need your help. Earlier as well, every single year, the number of students who are, you know, competent enough to go into an engineering college is way beyond than the number of seats in IIT JEE. So IIT JEE is the bottleneck. And that's the problem. And instead of working on the solution, these companies are just working on the problem itself. What are we going to achieve over there? We need better colleges. If some other player is entering into this, IIT JEE coaching, okay, but the richest company in the world is entering into our market and saying, we'll help you prepare for the IIT JEE. It doesn't make sense. You have enough money to open new colleges in itself. You know, do that. Let's see if you can do that. Why are you, making this competitive exam more competitive? What is the point of that? Nobody's opening up colleges. Nobody's opening up edtech companies for, let's say, different engineering streams, electrical stream. Tell me a single edtech company which is providing, education for civil engineers, mechanical engineers. Nobody is doing that. They are just saying, we'll help you prepare for the IIT JEE exam, clear the exam, go to the college and do what? Come back as a salesman and work in the same company. So that's a dangerous loop which is going on right now.
I have a sort of a counter argument there, which is that I don't know the exact statistics, but there's probably a lot of colleges, there's probably a lot of universities, but people tend to focus on the top ones, right? They don't want to go to anything inferior. They're not willing to. I don't know if there's like empty colleges. Like, for example, in the United States, there's a lot of colleges that are trying to fill their seats, but everybody's focusing on Stanford, they're focusing on Harvard, they're focusing on these really prestigious Ivy League universities. I'm not sure if that's the case here in India, but it might be, right? It might actually be sort of the public's opinion of it's a status symbol, right? I graduated from an IIT, or
yeah,
I graduated from BITS Pilani, right? Go ahead.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. The IIT is a way to a hyped brand value right now. It's a good college, but it's not that if you can't go into an IIT, you won't get a decent salary afterwards. You can still work through a private college itself. So that mentality should be changed in Indian people, that don't run after the tag value, run after education if you are really interested into that. But I'm talking about like nobody is working on the solution part. People are working on the problem part. You know, the obviously somebody will clear IITJ, somebody will clear the NEET exam, somebody will clear those seats, and because we have like 100 times the number of students as compared to the seats. So that's not the problem, that we don't have enough students to fill up the college's seats. It's the problem is that the colleges are not that great. There are less opportunities after doing those degrees. Those are the problems. Work on that.
Interesting. Yeah, I think it's probably difficult, even if you studied at these prestigious schools, to, you know, find a, possibly, I'm not entirely sure, but it might be difficult to find employment. Maybe the, you know, the job market is a bit crowded. I think that just comes, though, when you have a massive population like India.
Yeah. So, yeah,
I guess that's
what I'm saying. That's the unemployment and the lack of good colleges, that's the problem. Not IIT JEE. Yeah. Entrance exam is not the problem for us. We can clear that ourselves any day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hope the public sentiment towards these training institutes or these coaching institutes maybe shifts and changes, and people realize the resources that are available to them on the internet for free or for a very cheap price. So that but then again, Amazon I think is offering this program at a very affordable rate. Am I wrong about that?
I'm not sure. I haven't checked the prices, but yeah, actually, you know, that's also a problem in India. Like when you provide something for free, people don't appreciate it. You know, Khan Academy is already out there and providing almost everything for free. And they have already launched the Hindi courses. And most probably they will be launching in other languages as well in the future. But people, I think they have this complex about it, that if we pay for something, the value suddenly goes up. The quality goes up. But it's not the case. Over YouTube, you can find almost anything for free and you can learn anything you want to. But still, these paid courses are making money. So that mentality also needs to be changed.
Sure. And I think this is not just India. This is everywhere, right? If you if you pay for a gym membership, then you feel obligated to go and work out. But exactly. Really, you could be doing the exact same thing in your house. It's your body, right? You have some heavy stuff in your house that you can lift. I'm sure you can get a yoga mat and start losing weight or getting fit. But people just want to have some sort of thing hanging over their head that sort of forces them to do something that they wouldn't otherwise feel like they want to do. So moving away from the edtech space and talking about colleges and all of this stuff, I wanted to know, moving forward, now that Whitehead Jr. has withdrawn this case and, you know, you're basically free from something that has been hanging over your head now for like several months. What's next for you? Are you just gonna relax, take it easy, and sort of go back to being a normal human being, or are you going to do something else? I'm curious.
Okay, so there are many things which could be done at this point. Some people have been asking me what are your alternatives about this coding thing, and I thought about it. And I think I have some ideas how you can teach computer science concepts to kids on a playground. You don't need a computer screen or a laptop, and the same concepts can be taught while the kids are playing. So I'm working on those ideas, and I'm, you know, working with the kids in my locality and checking out what are the results. And once I have those results and once I've checked with what minimum age kids can learn that thing, I'll, you know, post something about it and we'll try it out. So yeah, that's also one option. And apart from that, actually now I feel like ignorance is bliss. So earlier I didn't know about so many issues which are going on, and now a lot of people are doing me emails, and now I know like there's so many wrong things which are happening in the India right now, whether it be healthcare or finance sector, and I'm overwhelmed because of that now. like, it's really bad whatever is happening out there in the world, in India, and I'm looking into those things, on what, how can I help those in those situations. I'm looking into that. Apart from that, I also have my exams lined up for the UPSC preparation. I'm doing that as well. So I'm thinking about that. So yeah, many things are to be done, and I'm looking into that.
Sure. So you're not just gonna put your feet up and relax. You've got a lot of things in the works.
Yeah, there are many issues which I'm concerned. So I'll look into those. I'm working behind the scenes, and I'll be back.
Sure. You'll be back. Well, we'll keep our eyes peeled, and I look forward to hearing from you in the future. But one thing I would like to say is that, you know, you've already done a lot. I just want to say that for myself and also for the community. I think, like, people, I've really never seen or met someone like you, someone who's actually taken a stand. And you didn't really have a choice after the lawsuit was filed, right? You couldn't, I mean, you can't just make that go away. They're taking you to court. But I think the fact that you stood up to them and you spoke out against them instead of keeping quiet, perhaps if you had just shut up right away, they might have withdrawn their case earlier. Who knows, right? Maybe they wouldn't have. But so maybe there's an argument there that you had no choice but to speak up. But I would say that that was a brave thing to do. And especially here in India, where, you know, and this is the case everywhere, but, you know, being in India myself and studying or looking at businesses and looking at what's going on in the business landscape, it happens here frequently where companies are able to bully the people, right? The small individual people, their customers or people who speak out against them on social media, they have a lot of power. And especially if you have money, you can get a lot done just by, right, paying the right people. But, you know, that's changing. I think people are waking up and they're realizing that they do have a voice. And you're somebody who has actually made people more aware of that fact, more than I think they had been in the past. And the fact that Whitehead Jr. has withdrawn this case is real evidence of that. I think a lot of people were already sort of sounding the death knell for you. They were assuming that you were just going to get destroyed by Whitehead Jr. And $2.7 million is a lot of money, right? And everybody was hopeful that you wouldn't be destroyed by them. But at the same time, there's not a lot of precedent for that, right? Typically, the big companies win against the little guy. So the fact that you stood up and you actually won, or that they withdrew the case, is something that I think gives a lot of people hope and courage. So yeah, thank you for doing what you've done so far. And again, I look forward to seeing what you do in the future.
Yeah. I have a couple of more things to say.
All right. Sure.
You know, the corona is really spreading. It's really getting dark. The situation is really bad. So take care of yourself and take care of your family. Wear a mask and take all the precautions. And apart from that, there's one help that I need from you guys. There's a guy called Vivek Kumar, and his sister is suffering from cancer. And with 15 minutes, maybe you will be the, you know, lucky guy who will be the donor match. Stem cell donor, and the link will be in the comments. So please, if you have the time, please help her out. So yeah.
All right, and we'll pin that comment as well.
Thank you.
Awesome. All right, I really appreciate you coming back on the show, Pradeep. And again, I wish you all the best, even during these difficult times. I can't wait to see what you do.
Thank you.